This is David Auld. I am at sunny Katoomba up in the Blue Mountains, west of Greater Sydney, and I'm at the CMS, the Church Missionary Society Summer School. We're having a great week. John Yates from Holy Trinity in Raleigh is preaching for us this week, and we'll be talking to him later on in the week. But first, I have a treat for you. This is Gary Nelson, and he is the Bishop of Northwest Australia. Hello, Gary. How are you going?
I'm well, thanks, David.
Mate, now, Gary, tell us a little bit about yourself, family, that sort of thing.
I'm married to Christine. We've been married for 40 years. Christine was someone I met at university through the Christian group at university. Otherwise, we'd have never met, doing very different courses. So we've been involved with teaching in public schools. So we went as missionary teachers to New Guinea and convicted there to come back to do full-time Bible teaching. Worked in a number of places in Sydney and then down the south coast. Then took a job looking after external studies programs at Moore College.
And that's where we met, isn't it, Gary?
Yes.
That's right. Now, but you're not there any longer, are you? You've gone out to... now, where is it you're based?
I was elected the Bishop of Northwest Australia in the beginning of 2012.
Wow.
Northwest Australia is the biggest diocese in Australia. It covers probably close to a quarter of the size of Australia.
Do you know roughly how much territory that is?
It's about 2 million square kilometres.
2 million square kilometres. It's probably bigger than any diocese that most of our listeners are in, but maybe some of the Canadian ones are a little bit bigger.
Yeah. I think I worked out that you could fit virtually all of Europe in our diocese.
So that must mean... Oh, we'll talk about travelling on the role in a minute, but that's quite exciting. Now, you're the bishop there.
Yeah.
So what does that involve? What does that role involve?
Well, the diocese, in essence, is really a missionary diocese. The support of ministry in the diocese comes from all manner of things. We probably have people giving from all around Australia to support gospel work in the northwest. Most of our communities are remote, isolated, small communities, particularly mining communities, and as well as indigenous work. So most places struggle to be able to... obviously support a minister, and most can't. The population is very transient, so your congregation could change. Within 2 years, you could have a completely new congregation.
Wow. So we talked about this a couple of years ago, Gary. So a typical parish for you would be a very small mining town with a bunch of men and some women who are doing fly-in, fly-out, off on the helicopters somewhere else to actually do the work, and then flying in.
Not so much. The fly-in, fly-out ones, in some ways we don't have a lot of contact with them because they're often actually living in mining camps rather than in the towns.
Okay.
But the people in, particularly in, say, Pilbara towns, they'll work in a mine that's somewhere near the town.
Yeah.
But their contracts may only be 12 months or 18 months.
Yeah.
The contracts will be terminated if the iron ore price drops, which it has done.
Right.
It's dropped by half, really, in the last couple of years.
Wow.
Which has meant a lot of people have had their contracts terminated. A lot of towns have had a downturn.
Mm.
And that's particularly affected, people's investments in those towns as a result, too.
So just to give us a sense of the remoteness as well, if I'm living in one of these remote towns, what is a trip back home to Sydney, say? What would that look like?
Partly depends on where you're based.
Well, give us a remote town and try it out.
So if, say, you're in Parabidou...
The place names are great, aren't they? Parabidou.
Parabidou is roughly 1,100 kilometres away from me.
And where are you?
In Geraldton, which is in the south... western part of the diocese. It's the biggest town.
Yeah.
It's way bigger than everything else.
Yeah.
The ways to get out of Parabidou is you can pick up a flight. They run a few flights during the week, which you'd go back to Perth. Then you'd probably wait a good number of hours in Perth, and then you'd be able to catch Perth to Sydney.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'd drive to... drive to Geraldton, which would take you a couple of days.
A couple of days. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, you can risk travelling through the night, but it's very risky travelling at night.
Yeah.
In the early evening, you've got the animal problems. So on the road, you could meet everything from camels through to kangaroos, cattle, horses, sheep, goats, wombats. So it's not easy driving. You've got to be very careful.
Wow. It really
so
is.
So I don't drive at night.
You don't drive at night. No. Are you doing some flying around your diocese as well?
I do fly from time to time. Part of our problem is just limited resources.
Sure.
So even though in some ways it would be better for me to fly more often so I'd be fresher.
You just don't have the funds to do
that. The funds.
I see that.
Normally if I'm coming over east, I'll drive down to Perth, which is about five and a half hours, stay overnight and then catch a plane.
Yeah.
But it means it adds 2 days onto any journey, and then I try to see if there's some people I can meet in Perth for some reason to make most of the time.
That makes sense. Let's talk a bit more about being a bishop. What's the greatest joy for you in this role? How long have you been in it, by the way?
I started in May 2012.
Okay, so we're almost hitting almost 3 years now.
Yeah.
What's been the greatest joy?
I think the privilege of being involved in gospel work in a remote region that has lots of difficulties, but being able to be part of a team that is seeking to bring the gospel and to build people up in the Bible. I think that's the biggest joy.
Yeah, yeah. And what's been the biggest surprise?
Biggest surprise would probably be the reluctance of people in comfortable dioceses to move out.
Yeah, that is a problem, isn't it, for lots of us. That's lots of us. And what's been hardest in your almost 3 years now as bishop?
The distance.
Yeah.
Often people struggle in their positions, and someone could be on the phone to me, very upset. I can't say I'll meet you down at the coffee shop in an hour.
Yeah.
I might say, well, I'll see you in 2 weeks' time or a month's time.
Wow.
Because, some people might be 2,000 kilometres away from me.
It's insane.
Yeah. The furthest church from me is 3,000 kilometres by road.
Ouch. Ouch. Wow. And so you're I know your archdeacon, normally your archdeacon would be in the office next door, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Your archdeacon is where?
Well, we've got three archdeacons. They all run parishes.
Yeah.
One's for the Midwest region, one's in the Pilbara region, and one's in the Kimberley region.
Yeah, so all the way from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Stunning, stunning, stunning. Okay, so that's what it's like being a bishop in a particularly a remote place. Now, let me ask you something that will be of interest to our American listeners. In this year's synod, as the diocese got together, there was a motion that was passed about the ACNA, the Anglican Church in North America. Do you want to talk us through that, what that motion was and how it came about?
It came about as a result of people hearing the comments of the Archbishop of Canterbury. In our lead-up to Synod, we had a school of theology where Peter Jensen was talking about preaching theologically, and we didn't catch up on the news because we were absorbed in that. And then when we caught up on the news of his comments, a number of people felt fairly strongly, and so they moved a motion without notice to say, well, we regarded ACNA as a... an Anglican church in communion with us. We applauded the appointment of Foley Beach as Archbishop and really wanted people to cling hold of the gospel. And we were supporting people that would. I mean, we're just a small little show in the backwoods of Australia, but people felt very strongly. It was the motion was passed unanimously.
Do you think that's important, stuff like that?
I think it is just because we are part of a world seen as Anglicans. And I think if there are people that are standing for the gospel and are not being treated well, then we should be standing with them and supporting and encouraging in whatever way we can. And we can't do much, but certainly when I communicated with Foley Beach, it was lovely having a chance to chat with him and pass on our greetings.
That's great. And were you at GAFCON in Nairobi? And what was your impression of that?
It was good meeting up with people that I'd met in various situations in the past, particularly through my role at Moore College with external studies. And that was really lovely to see some folk that I'd been involved in training that were now coming into good gospel leadership positions.
That's
and that
great.
Was exciting. I enjoyed... sort of hearing about where people were at in various places around the world. I guess the downside would be I wondered if at times the embracing of as wide a group as possible may have some difficulties in the future. Though we may all sign and have a commitment to the Jerusalem Declaration and so on, I guess how does that work out in practice, and how does that work out in terms of gospel biblical ministry, I think is an issue that probably GAFCON needs to think a bit more for the longer term future to make sure that our unity stays a unity in the gospel.
So if you were going to, you're given the dream job of chairman of GAFCON, what would it be that you would then be pointing people towards to say, look, this is where unity comes from, given that we're a broad collection of people? What do you think you'd go, this is the key issue on which we just got to be absolutely united, this is what will define us?
I think two things. One would be the uniqueness of Christ, and the second one would be everything having to be grounded in a good understanding of the Scriptures. I think those two things I've probably always got to have a key focus, and that's got to be worked on together, and to say, well, if Christ is unique, what does that mean in our different situations?
Yeah.
If the Bible is our supreme authority, what does that mean? What does it mean in issues where there are differences? How do we resolve those differences? Where are the things that maybe poor theological education hasn't exposed people sufficiently to tackling the Scriptures in a consistent manner and to look at that issue?
Yeah. Lots of work to be done.
But now, GAFCON's a wonderful thing.
Wasn't it just? It was just a great experience. Now, a couple more things. You said earlier that it's a big deal for you to travel. And even coming across to Sydney, I mean, that's a couple of days of travel at least to get out here, perhaps. Why then come over here? What brings you out to CMS Summer School? I mean, why not just stay and get some work done in Geraldton in Northwest Australia? Why come to this event of all events?
I've always come to CMS Summer School for a long, long time, but in particular, it's a great place for meeting gospel ministers and a great place to recruit. People coming to a missionary conference, you'd expect that hopefully people will be sacrificial and ministry-minded to share the gospel beyond their own situation. So that's key reason for coming, is really to talk to people about the needs of the Northwest and in particular certain situations.
That's exciting. Now, you're talking to people here about that, but also we're interviewing with a bunch of people listening all over the world, not least in North America. If they want to find out more about the Diocese of Northwest Australia, what ought they to do?
Well, they can certainly contact me and love to talk to people. Our website is still trying to be redone. We have very few resources. Our diocesan office is basically just the registrar and myself and a part-time secretary. So everything has to be done with basically two full-time people.
Wow.
So we just don't have enough financial resources. And that's what makes travelling difficult too, because it'd be nice to fly more often, but flying is so expensive in WA for the distances. I can get some of my trips. I could have not only got to London quicker, but got to London for a cheap amount of money.
That'd be good. So prayer and cash, basically. And what can people pray for specifically?
I think wisdom to know how we can make the best use of limited resources for the gospel ministries. Recruitment of gospel-minded people with a mission heart. And thirdly, at the moment, a real prayer request is trying to work out how we can get some more support in the diocesan office, particularly for our registrar. So that's a really crucial one, because otherwise he's not going to last the distance.
And those are the interesting things, aren't they? So we think about parish work, but actually it's that labouring away of administration that actually supports all that parish work. It's the beauty of a diocesan system, but it's also the bit that people miss.
Yeah, see, in our place we do all the payroll as well, because you can never count on there being treasurers in the parishes that will be there for the whole year.
That's right.
Some parishes have three treasurers during the whole year.
So, friends, there's a real need, and if you want to get hold of Gary, what's the best way to do that?
Email me is probably the best way. That's bishop@anglicandnwa.org.
bishop at Anglican DNWA, that stands for Diocese of Northwest Australia, .org. Gary, thank you so much for your time.
It's been a pleasure.
Bye.
Mate, that's great. That's really good.